This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
The very, very frozen Lake Wissota studio. The lake, not the studio. It's toasty here. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 21st. Nice to have you along on this National Squirrel Appreciation Day, Granola Bar Day, International Sweatpants Day, Goofy Socks Day, and Homemade Products, both objects and food. So if you make something at home, good for you. Brittany, do you make anything at home?
Science experiments, that's for sure.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Greg, you had your hand raised.
I was going to say every day is sweatpants day, depending on how sad you are. Boom, boom, boom.
That is Greg Bach, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 is here as well. But we will start with Brittany Merlot to talk about the temperatures, which are once again in the category of stupid cold. It's 23 below here in Chippewa Falls with a wind chill of minus 39. Hayward, you're at 27 below for the temperature. The wind chill in Hayward, minus 43. It is 20 below in Wausau, 22 below in Amory. La Crosse at minus 16, Rapids minus 19, Green Bay minus 12, Madison 12 below, Waukesha 13 below, Racine 8 below. Brittany, how much longer? What did I calculate before? This would be now 57 hours in a row of below zero. How much longer we got on this?
Ooh, we've got a good 24 hours still below zero, unfortunately. But the temperatures are going to be rising all throughout the day. Pretty much, this is the coldest time frame from about 6 to 8 this morning. Actual temperatures, like you said, falling to 27 below zero into places like Rhinelander, Manitouche Waters, Solon Springs. So I kind of looked into those areas, and is this a record? No, they hit negative 38 back in 94. So way, way, way worse, but still nonetheless dangerously cold. That's why an extreme cold weather warning is in effect until noon today. That is statewide. Everyone is feeling some sort of wind chill out there, ranging from 45 below all the way to about 35 below. So you can get frostbite within about 10 minutes in these conditions. So if your fingers or ears or nose starts to tingle or go numb, get inside immediately. Limit your time outdoors, obviously, today, and keep an eye on those pipes. A lot of them bursting across the area, and the winds are only going to get worse this afternoon. We are looking at them picking up to about 20 miles per hour, so that's going to keep us feeling well below zero. So once the when the warning expires, we'll go into an advisory for the rest of the day. Because we stay below zero, rising temperatures, we will all of us pretty much near 0 degrees and about to climb above it overnight tonight. So when we wake up tomorrow, we will be finally above zero.
Okay.
We're looking at some light snow, though, pushing into.
Yeah, because it finally can snow.
Right.
Robin Tigerton also put up a note about pipes freezing and bursting. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 19 below. A wind chill of 38 degrees below zero. Yesterday was a busy day because his pipes froze. So with the help of his brother-in-law Kevin and nephew Adam, we got the water and sewer going by insulating the pipes, putting portable heaters in the basement by the sump pumps. Had to go to the Clintonville Fleet Farm for a new portable heater. Let's see, we mentioned the pipes bursting, but he also says he went and took some pictures of the cold weather yesterday afternoon, especially the beef cows being outside enjoying the cold and sunny weather. I don't know, enjoying it. I think even livestock at some point goes, this is no longer fun. But Rob does say that, thank you for keeping us all informed. So, Rob, we always appreciate the notes.
We went through that. You know, when it rains, it pours. It's one thing after another, too.
Oh, of course. Yes, it is. It's always just one thing, and then, yeah, without a doubt. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll get an update tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be, you know, talking about, the heat index before too much
more
longer.
More negative signs, right?
Yeah, right. At least that much. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you later on.
Day one.
A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner and get our unabashedly Wisconsin news every morning, including a story today about Governor Tony Evers and his initiative to let citizens petition to change the Wisconsin Constitution. Since right now it's only Republicans controlling the legislature who have that kind of power and aren't exactly putting things on the constitutional ballot that are in sync with how most Wisconsinites feel about things. So read about that in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, for more about that. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network today, on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, she asks, Trump is now sworn in. Are internment camps next after he invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 in his inaugural address? What is it and what does it mean for you? That'll be on Maggie Dawn later today. And Greg Bach would be the first to tell you that he's got great guests coming up, including one at 10:30, a former U.S. attorney, I understand.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Jim Santel returns to the show because there's nothing going on in the courts of America right now to talk about. So
no,
Jim will be breaking down all the law, court, all the news that's going on that's affecting us at this very moment. And you can catch a wonderful show of his every Saturday at 9 a.m. called Amicus, a Law Review, where he basically just gives you a 2-hour rundown of what's going on in the courts, what's going on law-wise, and how it affects all of us.
Yes, and no doubt he'll talk about the 1,500 pardons issued by Trump yesterday for people who were part of the deadly riot at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. In sports, Ohio State beat Notre Dame for the college football championship. Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV, college football, anything? Did you watch any of that game? Or with the Packers out, or are we all just kind of on our football sabbatical now?
I'm an NFL nut. I love the NFL. Watch pretty much every game I can. Don't really care for college football. Ohio State won. I've always despised Notre Dame. So
there you go. See, and sometimes fandom doesn't have to be about who you root for.
I don't like college football.
Sometimes
but
it's
I
who you root against.
Notre Dame.
Yes.
Well, that's from my youth. You know, I develop hatreds from my youth. I hate Notre Dame. I hate the Vikings, and that's pretty much it.
And cauliflower.
Yeah, you know, when they say children aren't born to hate. No, but they're quickly indoctrinated by their parents, right, depending on their sports affiliations. So we've got that going for us. Dan, we were talking about what things you're covering over at Newswatch 12, and among the new stories that you're covering, again, now with winter here, and so people are able to drive on the lakes if need be. Some people have to, it appears, because once again, the road controversy over at the Lac du Flambeau reservation is heating up again, pun intended. What's the latest over there?
Yeah, that's right. So like two Januaries ago, they put up barricades on roads. And by they, I mean the Lac du Flambeau Ojibwe tribe. So because of this Dawes Act in the 1920s, they kind of carved up the reservation a little bit. And now some non-tribal people own properties within the boundaries of the reservation, but not on the reservation. But the problem is that some of these white people have to travel over a road that is, you know, owned and managed by the tribe. Their tribe's taxes go to pay for this road. So that's why the barricades went up, is because the town basically failed to pay easements to the tribe for a decade plus. And the tribe has alleged that the town has negotiated in bad faith. So the latest update is that a U.S. district court has gotten involved, and the barricades are not on the roads again. However, there are trail cameras up on the roads, and the threat is that citations will be issued to pretty much everyone who uses those roads that are not part of the tribe. So that's the latest situation.
That's an interesting change on that. Instead of barricading the road and saying to non-tribal members, you know, you can't come on the road, period, it's, well, you could come on the road. You're not physically barred, but you would be trespassing while you're on the roads. And so you could get individual citations. That's an interesting change in tactics. to see if that works out. I will say my two cents on this has been that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and I have said this over multiple administrations, Democratic and Republican, has not exactly been the most helpful resource on this and many other issues that come up around the country, even though Governor Evers, Senator Baldwin, and even members who are not necessarily on the tribe side, like Congressman Tom Tiffany, you know, have all said the BIA could be playing a greater role in this. Although I guess when it comes right down to it, Dan, it really is a matter of negotiation between the Lac du Flambeau tribal community and the nearby town of Lac du Flambeau, and that's really still what's at the base of all this.
That's right, and the town ran out of money. They say they ran out of money in August, which is why the threat of the barricades came back, but ultimately there's just got to be a federal solution. There's no way the town and the tribe will figure this out. The state really doesn't have much jurisdiction, so yeah, the federal government has to step up, I think.
Which, again, with this administration, it's hard to know if that is going to be in the offering anytime soon. You know, we heard from Robin Tigerton about the worry about, you know, pipes freezing because it's this cold and there hasn't been enough snow on the ground. So from a winter recreation standpoint, how are things looking there in terms of, I mean, you obviously would like more snow, but I suppose if for the ice fishers out there, it's, you know, it's game on.
Yeah, I've heard this is the best ice fishing season in a generation. It's incredible out there, 14 inches of ice on most lakes. For snowmobiling, so Iron County has opened their snowmobile trails, as did Vilas County. But Vilas County is a very thin layer of snow, so the conditions are not looking good. I do know that businesses did get a boost last weekend, but we're going to need snow for sure to freshen up the trails. And we need it because, as you know, last year was a complete dud.
It was, and it bears saying again, and I don't mean to sound like I'm chiding folks, but again, people wander off the trails too much, so much so that landowners, you know, are closing up more of their land. So it can't be said enough to folks, stay on the trails when they're open. Don't be looking for fresh snow someplace else, because then the trails just go away. That's not like a public road, you know, that's out of the generosity of the landowners, right?
Yeah, it is remarkable that they even exist, frankly. They have so many landowners cobbled together. And that's also why it's good to be patient with opening the snowmobile trails, because if it's too thin, you're just going to be tearing up people's land. And that's right. A great way to ruin the trails forever.
Yeah, and we want to keep the winter recreation sector healthy there. Dan Hagen, thanks for sticking around, telling us more what you're covering at Newswatch 12. Go over to WJFW.com to learn more. Dan, we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right. Thank you. When we come back, we've talked already about Trump's inaugural address and the tech billionaires that were there. You can go to civicmedia.us to listen back to past hours of Up North News Radio. We'll look ahead at the executive orders coming up next that were issued by Trump yesterday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I don't know, Greg. Do you think Dan's going to come back after we teased him about not knowing his Spice Girls?
Well, he made the comment that he's like 67, skip over right to the 90s. This is 90s.
This is it. Yeah. Baby Spice should be in your wheelhouse, dude.
Yes.
Emma Button, Baby Spice, is 49 years old today, part of today's history lesson that we have every morning at 6:50. Badger men's basketball tonight at UCLA. Coverage begins at 7:30. On stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center, and the Civic Media app. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Download that app. Get that there. Text us from there. Greg sees the text messages.
I do.
He tells us what's what, and then we we share it here. So far, the only message I've got there is from Luke Mathers, hearing our pizza segment from last hour, saying Bucks in Madison is so good, with a little drooling face emoji. But I'm the one that said it first, Buck's Pizza. I got turned on to that last year sometime, and I'm like, okay, this is it. Still love Glass Nickel, but oh, Buck's.
Oh, Glass Nickel is good.
I know. What is it? What is it about places? Is it the cheese? No, it's the sausage, the sauce, the cheese, the crust.
There's something about pizza that just like I'll eat pretty much any pizza, Jack's frozen or the most gourmet flatbread, and they can all be fine. But you always want to know what's that secret ingredient that certain places put in there where you're just like, this is the only pizza that matters. This is so good, and I want it all the time.
Yes, I love the local places where their specialty is thin and greasy, the kind where you could use a napkin to mop it up, but you don't because you want it just the way that it is. But again, everybody, as we learned last hour, has very different opinions, but you guys can share yours. Get the Civic Media app and text us. We'd love to hear more about it. All right, let's talk just for a bit about the executive orders that we've been talking about for some time that Donald Trump was likely to put down on his first day in office, and he did. He did not talk about all of them in his inaugural address, and so I'm going to say that, you know, my prediction didn't that I was wrong. I expected even more executive orders. I would not have been surprised if Trump had tried to use, like, the military or some other things to start to, you know, impose things right away. And it doesn't look like he did, but he did file a ton of executive orders that could lead to things like the military being deployed at the southern border. He did put in an executive order that he claims would end birthright citizenship, except for that pesky little thing called the Constitution, which Trump is on the record as saying there are times when he thinks the Constitution, you know, could and should be suspended. So why let that get in the way of making an executive order? So that one is going to go to the courts right away. But let's try to keep our eye on the ball in terms of some of the executive orders that might affect you. A lot of what Trump did was simply undo some of the executive orders from President Joe Biden. Well, let's take a step back. What exactly are executive orders? Executive orders are directives to federal agencies, if not specific people, that you have to change the work that you do to, like, emphasize this, add this, don't do that. So long as it isn't, you know, illegal, as long as it doesn't violate some law that Congress has already passed, you can direct federal agencies to do various things because they're under the executive branch. Joe Biden did a lot of those things. Donald Trump just undid some of them. For example, there was a Biden initiative that sought new ways to lower drug costs for Medicare recipients and Medicaid recipients. Trump blew that up, saying, nope, let's keep prices high for prescription drugs. He repealed expanded access to COVID-19 vaccines and treatments designed to prepare the country for future outbreaks of infectious diseases. Trump got rid of that. Trump yesterday shortened enrollment periods for Affordable Care Act coverage, just days after we learned that Americans got coverage in record numbers thanks to the Affordable Care Act. Trump also removed extra funding for third-party groups who assist Americans in getting enrolled. He also, of course, one of the big ones is that he has now undone all of the work by law enforcement, by legal authorities, by judges, and by juries of fellow Americans who all acted to make sure that there were consequences to those who took part in the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol. But again, thanks to Trump and the 77 million Americans who voted for him, those folks have all now been pardoned. Trump pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords, again, as he did the first time through, with no reason. There's no reason to do this. Industry, by and large, recognizes the realities of the world, and they are feeling the pressure to clean up their act. By pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords, sure, there will be some industries that feel like they can slow down the pace or stop entirely with any effort to reduce carbon emissions. Who would do that? Who would be part of a pro-pollution act? Let it seems to me like the only ones who would are the ones who are happy to give a big middle finger to our grandchildren, all in the name of making some billionaires a little bit wealthier. But that's where we stand now. Trump pulled the United States out of the World Health Organization again and again. No reason to, other than that he loves to demonize other races, other countries, likes to claim that, you know, anything, any disagreement with the U.S. is somehow a threat to America rather than a reasonable disagreement on priorities for things like, you know, trying to keep people alive around the world. There are some executive orders that were done for show. For example, he says he just instituted a federal hiring freeze. Well, he did that 8 years ago as well, and it lasted until April. Yeah, only about 3 months or so, and that's when folks in the federal government realized there were a lot of vacancies, people were leaving, and you weren't going to get the work done unless you filled them. He got rid of Title IX protections for gender identity. Okay, that's rescinded. But what President Biden did in offering that protection, it also brought public attention. And look, yeah, some of that public attention did help Trump win, but in the long run, it lifted up public awareness that hatefulness and bigotry are still out there. And because of what President Biden did, more people are going to stand up to bullying, whether it's by their local school boards, employers, or others, even if Donald Trump has rescinded those protections in Title IX. We will come back and hear from Congressman Mark Pocan after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Birthday boy Billy Ocean, "When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going" is the theme of our next segment here, where I talked to Congressman Mark Pocan on the phone late yesterday after activities involving a day of service for Martin Luther King Day, which coincided with Inauguration Day this year. We talked a bit about Trump's inauguration, especially the parts where Donald Trump was telling the crowd, who he thinks is less American and less deserving. And we'll get to that. But I first just started by asking him about his day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I decided that a better and more productive use of my time would not be going to the inaugural inside the Capitol, because it's a freezing 26 degrees that they couldn't handle in Washington, so they put it all inside, and that I would go and meet with the populations that are most at risk under a Trump presidency. And that meant meeting with federal employees, people who work for the Postal Service, who not only could they have direct attacks at federal employees like they talked about in Project 2025, but Donald Trump has talked about a privatization of the Postal Service. Then I met with folks from the LGBTQI plus community, talk about, potential attacks that we've seen already introduced this session in Congress on not just trans folks, but also LGBT folks in a variety of different ways that have been expressed by both Donald Trump and the Republicans in Congress. Then after that, I delivered Meals on Wheels to low-income seniors, people who are at risk if they would affect either Social Security or Medicare in a negative way. And then finally, met with folks at Centro Hispano to talk about things like deportations and other things that negatively could affect folks who are in the immigrant community. So that was my day, really listening and being prepared to to take the fight to Washington for people who could be at risk.
Well, and obviously there were things that were said by the president in his address that would be a reason for concern, not just for undocumented immigrants, but there were anti-trans remarks, anti-racism remarks, I guess you could call it. And I mean, it obviously sends some kind of a message. What should people take away from that? Should they feel defeated? Should they go into hiding? Should they not pay attention to the news? What's your advice to those folks?
Well, you know, a president's supposed to unite the nation, especially on the day they're sworn. And unfortunately, Donald Trump has never seen that memo. So, you know, his job, he sees it as continuing to pander to his base rather than doing what the job of the president is, which is to unite us. And by dividing people and making certain people different than others, he's certainly not doing, I think, what a president's supposed to do, and then puts people really at risk, their very lives at risk. So unfortunately, Donald Trump once again chose to do that. But, you know, we're here, like in my community, to protect those folks, you know, to make sure that any attacks that could come don't negatively impact people, especially when it's coming from their own government. You know, with liberty and justice for all means all, and you can't just pick and choose like Trump does.
Let me come back to a point that I made earlier in the show, and that was that, you know, the remarks by Trump talked about, you know, wanting to grow manufacturing and reduce inflation. But those are things that are already underway here. Inflation is coming down. Manufacturing jobs are on the rise in Wisconsin. And between that and the tariffs that he's promising, shouldn't there be a valid concern that he could actually have a negative impact on the recovery that we've already been enjoying in this state?
Well, you know, that's the thing. We're in officially the fourth week of the 119th Congress, and there's yet to be a bill put before us that reduces the cost of gasoline or housing or groceries for American people. You know, they talked about that during the election, and then they've taken this, you know, extreme social right conservative, you know, viewpoint in the legislation they're introducing. Same is true with the president. I mean, you know, if you do tariffs on everything, you actually don't understand what tariffs are about. You know, when other countries are dumping cheap steel in the country, it's good to put tariffs on it to protect our steel industry. But when you put them on everything, you're simply taxing consumers on everything. And that will make costs go up, the opposite of what we were promised. So not only are we not getting legislation promised, we're actually having counteractive measures potentially put on the American people. Again, not at all what was promised in November.
No, we're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan here about the inaugural address by President Trump and, you know, what folks can do here going forward. Now, on a list that was released earlier about where immigration raids were likely to take place, you know, Wisconsin cities were not listed among them. But I do wonder if you have concerns, not just that Wisconsin cities like Madison or Milwaukee could be in the crosshairs, but farms all over Wisconsin. If you have concerns about the migrant community there, and then once again, its impact on the Wisconsin economy.
Yeah, they're not looking at just specific areas where they're going to make these policies take place. It's going to be across the country. And if they start to make them in some areas, maybe initially, they're certainly going to be coming to Wisconsin not much farther down the road. So we have to be aware. In fact, I heard an interview today with someone a farmer who supported Donald Trump, but he wanted to talk to him to make sure that he doesn't do anything really about deporting the people who works at his farm. Well, you need to think about that in November. And I think we need now to make sure that we're bringing a coalition together, not just of these families that are going to be impacted, but the employers, the other community organizations, all the folks that are going to see a negative ramification out of these policies, because they're going to come to Wisconsin. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Now, one of the points we've made here frequently is that you can't let the Trump sideshows, you know, deflect attention from the things that matter, that either Trump and his team are or are not doing something. Having said that, there's sometimes these sideshows need to be addressed a little bit here. And one of them, I'm not going to talk about Gulf of Mexico because nobody's going to say Gulf of America unless they want to be laughed at. But I want to come to Mount McKinley because we have a healthy indigenous population here in Wisconsin. And when you have a, you know, a landmark like that, that had an indigenous name, and, you know, then some American who supported William McKinley decided to call it Mount McKinley, and then President Obama restores it to its indigenous name, for Trump to say what he said yesterday about changing the name back, again, it tells one more community in this country, you know, what, in your estimation?
You know, unfortunately, this is Donald Trump. You know, I think last time he was president, 90% of what he said didn't become reality, but you had to focus on what 10% was. Figure that out. That's the art of my job, because that's what's going to affect people. I think this time it might be 20%. But, you know, we need to make sure that when he just puts these ideas out there, some of them are going to somehow bubble up to becoming reality. And if those are either going to negatively affect people who live in the country, negatively affect our relationship with other countries or anything, we have to be prepared to push back. And I think we're going to have a lot of pushing back occurring in the next month.
Can you give me your take on the fact that, let me put it in the words of Senator Tammy Baldwin, who, as the inauguration ceremonies were getting underway, said she couldn't help but notice all of the, you know, tech billionaires that were given prominent front row seating in the Capitol Rotunda. So, you know, whether you want to call it a, you know, a broligarchy or whatever, what concerns do you have that there were just so many of the richest people on earth sitting there in VIP seating for this inauguration?
Well, they're all going to pander to the president to make sure that policies that allow them to continue to make money happen. A lot of them put money into inaugural activities that they haven't for past presidents, because, again, it's for Donald Trump's ego to gain favor. And yeah, I heard even like their spouses were with them, but they wouldn't allow the spouses of the elected officials, the members of Congress and the Senate who were there to sit in the same room. But of course, if you're wealthy enough, you can buy a seat, because that's how Donald Trump thinks. It just shows, between the appointments he's made of billionaires to how he treated these folks, that his priorities do not include the average person in Wisconsin, but they do include the people who can afford to go to Mar-a-Lago and spend money at his own place.
Where do you think we go from here now that we've had the inauguration, and you get back to the business at hand in Congress, and this talk about trying to jam as much as humanly possible of the Donald Trump agenda into a single reconciliation bill? Where do you see that strategy going right now?
Yeah, I think the reason they say that is because they just can't pass individual bills. With the people they've appointed out of the House, they should only have a one-seat margin probably until April or May, when there's some special elections. And because of that, you know, it's a tight governing majority. When they have five in the majority, they can't pass bills. It's even tougher, obviously, when you have one. So I think what we're just watching is their inability to be able to move things forward as individual pieces of legislation. Therefore, they have to roll them into what's called must-pass bills, whether it be using the reconciliation, putting them into an omnibus budget, putting them into the National Defense Authorization. That's the only way they can get things done. And reconciliation is kind of a unique way. Once a year, a fiscal year, you can do it. But you got to assume that that's going to have a giant tax break for the wealthiest, all the people who just attended the inaugural. It's going to have perhaps some border activities. It's going to have a bunch of Donald Trump's priorities. And they're not going to be coming to get Democratic votes for this. So it has to be something that, you know, only Republicans will love. And I think they're still going to have a difficult time, given they can't have any deflections or else it won't pass. But it's the way they can get things done.
I'm wondering if you have any hope of any changes for things related to ethics. You saw Trump have this cryptocurrency thing over the weekend, I'll say, for lack of a better word. And there's talk about, you know, restricting members of Congress from owning stock or trading in stock. But given what we're seeing out of Trump, do you anticipate any changes in congressional ethics rules, much less for, you know, presidents or the Supreme Court?
Well, for Donald Trump, I mean, he's going to continue grifting, because that's what he does. You know, he's going to profit being president. And, you know, we saw it the last time, and we've seen since he was president, he's going to continue. For members of Congress, I mean, I've always said we shouldn't be able to trade in stock. We get too much inside information on companies in our district and in industries we have oversight over, that it's just a bad idea, and it's something Congress should do for itself. But, you know, certainly that is true of the White House as well. And, you know, Donald Trump can profit in ways that I think were never intended by our founders. And we should address them to make sure that those practices don't happen.
So there you go. That was, again, Congressman Mark Pocan talking to us late yesterday on the phone about skipping the inauguration and about what's happening in Washington in Congress, because now we get back to work. And now with Trump in the White House, trying to put Trump's entire agenda into one bill or as much of it as possible. It's not going to be smooth sailing, I guess, is one way to put it. And I think that there is still ample room for folks to reach out to their member of Congress. And if you have a feeling on a particular issue, to make it known, not to make it feel like whatever Trump says goes and that there's no room for debate. As I know from once being in a legislative body, there is always room for debate. There is always room for somebody in that caucus room to raise their hand and say, I don't know about this. I am hearing a lot from my constituents about this issue or that issue. It does work sometimes. And so getting in touch with your member of Congress could, in fact, still make a difference on some of these matters. I mean, we talked already about how the executive orders that Trump signed yesterday are going to increase healthcare costs and reduce availability for plans under the Affordable Care Act. That thing alone is worth mentioning. The things that the Biden administration did to help fight junk fees put in place by, airlines and hotels and concert tickets and things like that. Again, things that directly affect your pocketbook. You can always let your member of Congress know that that's important. That shouldn't be a Democratic or a Republican thing about avoiding junk fees on your tickets. And finally, again, about the sideshows. There's folks that love, they just love the fact that, you know, Gulf of Mexico to Donald Trump is now going to be called Gulf of America. And I mean, enjoy the laugh for today. But after this, you're the one that's going to get laughed at if you call it the Gulf of America, because it's going to be what Gulf of America? Does it start with an M over there? It is what it is, folks. And avoid the sideshows. Pay attention to what really affects your pocketbook. Chad Holmes is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Here's Chad Holmes now from the Chad Holmes Show. You can hear it coming up next on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau or on the Civic Media app, or through the Civic Media website where you can stream it, or you can subscribe by podcast to do the same thing. Mr. Holmes, how are you? How are you staying warm out there? Are you staying warm out there?
Give me a moment. I got to take an aspirin.
Yeah, it brings up the old airplane jokes. You know, looks like I picked the wrong week to stop, you know, whatever. Insert punchline here.
Sniffing glue.
Yeah.
No, I know them all.
Yep.
I've had Trump flu for a couple of days. So
now I will repeat what I said yesterday, is that, you know, a few of us hosts and producers talked the other day about not just becoming, you know, the 24/7 Trump outrage network, that we will, you know, keep things in perspective, keep things focused on people's pocketbooks and things. And some people suggested maybe an egg timer, you know, just plan like 8 minutes, you can talk about Trump and that's it. I kind of like the swear jar thing, because I got one of these swear jars right here. And I said, you know, the first mention's free, but after that, you got to drop a little something in the kitty here. And, you know, then I got to do something special with it once I put the money in. So that's what I'm going with. Try to avoid the Trump fever, the Trump derangement syndrome, as they like to say.
That's a good way of putting it. And actually, you know, the thing about it that you should keep a closer eye on are the people outside of Trump that are wrapping themselves around. I mean, I just, you know, you see you see the picture of, you know, the richest people in the world getting front row seats while the cabinet and the Congress are behind them. You talk about a picture that's really worth a thousand words.
It's worth $1 trillion. Yeah. $1 trillion was the worth of those tech billionaires on the stage yesterday by the time you add it all up. Can I give you just another angle of the, you mentioned the grifting out there by people who were there. And this one, nobody's going to catch. I caught it and I put it up on Blue Sky. And I forget which news outlet put this up. But it was one of the pastors who spoke at one of the inauguration events, emulating the way that Donald Trump launched a cryptocurrency a few days ago. This pastor urged people on social media to buy his own cryptocurrency that he just created for himself right after appearing in the Capitol Rotunda. He put a video on social media that said, "I want you to be able to see politics become manifest. I need you to do me a favor and go and get that coin in order for us to accomplish the vision that God has called us to do on the earth."
The rules don't apply for everybody anymore.
Nope.
Over the weekend, the days leading to the inauguration, the incoming president and the incoming first lady, $1 trillion grift or whatever it is. The numbers are so big they're beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. And then the rules are where members of Congress were not allowed to bring their spouse, but Jeff Bezos was. What is going on here? It's insanity.
Well, but it is, you know, again, when people say, well, don't say oligarchy, people don't, they're going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know as they continue to watch these things. Through this 4 years, I believe so, because you have the symbolism. People use Facebook. People use Google. People use Amazon. And so when they see things like what I brought up last hour, it's going to affect them. What I said last hour was, and I saw this on some posts, so I went and did it myself to find out, go to Instagram, search in the search bar, put in hashtag Republican, and all the usual searches come up that have a Republican hashtag in the post. Now search for hashtag Democrat. And it says these results are hidden because they might have sensitive content. The censoring's already out there. And again, it might last a day and they go, oh, it's just a technical issue. The fact of the matter is folks are going to appreciate how these tech bros, these billionaires, can really alter the information that comes to you or the information that doesn't come to you. I happen to believe, you know, people are going to become more aware of that over time. But I can understand if you're skeptical.
I am skeptical. Because we've lived through a lot of this already, and it does not appear to affect the ultimate voting, which is ultimately what leads to policy. And I heard you talk about a gentleman who said he wanted to talk to Trump about making sure that Trump doesn't deport the good ones.
I mean,
these people know better. And yet,
they should.
And yet they vote the way that they do, and you see it over and over and over again. And we've talked about the fact that many of these issues, when they're put on the ballot itself, they tend to either pass or fail based on the wording of it. And yet the people that push forth the policies that are the opposite of what these folks believe, they still get the votes. And I don't know at this point. I guess I hope that you're right. That's all I'll say.
Yep, Greg.
I was just gonna say, I'd like to think they know better, but if they're voting against their own interests, then they obviously don't. And I told Jane this on Matt and Aaron Air, and I'm gonna say it here too. I'll never say I told you so, but I will say you get what you voted for.
I get that. And I also get that, you know, in 2020, people had seen enough of it the first time. Now Trump and others learned from it and were able to, you know, in the famous words of Abraham Lincoln, you know, fool most of the people some of the time. But again, I think after he's been an incumbent again, you know, hopefully that much like 2020, people go, oh, that's right. That's right. This guy, you know, sometimes you have to touch the wet paint a second time. Sometimes you just do, and that's how it rolls. Chad Holmes will tell us more about it.
Pat, what's your theory on Ron Johnson then? How many times do you have to touch that paint?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have a billionaire helping me out with the painting job. Your point, game, set, match to Mr. Holmes, everybody.
Game, set, tennis.
Yep. He will tell you more about this coming
more
up on his show.
Coming up.
More painting tips for Chad Holmes coming up next on his show on WXEO 98.9 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air. Tomorrow, we'll have State Representative Francesca Hong talking about her healthy school meals for all bill, trying to get that through the State Assembly. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.